I'm calm.
I'm with it.
I'm collected.
And I'm company.
And this is the podcast Magic the Amateuring.
Welcome. We're going to talk to you in your ear holes or your spaces in your brain about Magic the Gathering.
That's right. There's a bunch of space in there and we're going to fill it with knowledge or at least with some ramblings.
Yeah, we don't want any hole in the brain left unfilled, and that's where we come in.
That's right. I'm one of your hosts, Megan.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
And this is the podcast Magic the Amateuring. It's a podcast about Magic the Gathering. We're going to fill all the spaces in your brain with knowledge.
Megan, we already said that.
We did?
Yes.
Oh.
It's okay, now they're double filled.
Yeah,
it's
now
like
you're all
tiramisu.
Exceptionally prepared. You know what they say? If there's one thing better than being prepared, it's being prepared twice.
On today's show, we're going to talk about a lot of great stuff in an effort to not think about the election.
That's right. I'm not stressing out. Are you stressing out?
Oh, no. I'm perfectly fine with everything. I'm like that dog in the fire. This is fine.
Everything's fine.
Yep. You might notice that we're recording this on Tuesday night, election night. Both Megan and I are wearing our Nasty Woman t-shirts.
That's right.
Because we are the nastiest of women. And we are endeavoring to talk about magic and only magic.
That's
for
right.
The next hour.
We're also sitting in great new chairs.
Thank you. Great yes. New chairs.
They are exceptional new chairs. Before we get started, we have a couple of people to thank. Amongst them, all of you. If you are listening to this show and you support us on Patreon, thank you so much. You are keeping the lights on, the microphones recording, and all of the audio waves waving.
Yeah, so we're trying really hard to reach our next goal on Patreon. Right now, and we're nearly there.
That's right. We have so many cute pages for our cutest cards coloring book.
It's gonna be great.
It's amazing.
Yeah, if you want a cutest cards coloring book in your life, go in there and support, become a member of the Less Than 1% Club, and get a chance to enter our drawing every single month for sweet magic stuff that we open here on the show, including this one. We have a sweet playmat from Lodestone Coffee and Games here in our home state of
That's
Minnesota.
Right.
So this is awesome, and it's really colorful and pretty, and it comes with a notepad and some pens and stuff, as well as cards that we open when we play Flavor Text Theater. Those
That's
are going to be
right.
part of this.
And you also get, obviously, the rewards that are on the MTA Patreon. You can donate $5 and get a sweet word poetry magnets for your fridge that are MTA specific.
I'm so excited for this, Megan.
They're going to be amazing, you guys. We're finishing up picking our last couple of the 50 words.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun. Or you can donate at $10 and get a sweet playmat and all the other levels in between, or any donation amount that is possible.
Yeah.
We also are going to thank our sponsor, CardKingdom.com/MTAcast. We are so happy to be part of the Card Kingdom family. They are a great spot, whether you're buying singles, boosters, sleeves, anything magic or games related. So head on over there and check them out. CardKingdom.com/MTAcast.
Just a quick shout out. The professor over at Tularean Community College recently got picked up, official sponsored by Card Kingdom. So we've got another member of the Card Kingdom family, which I think goes to prove how awesome Card Kingdom is because they sponsor all of my favorite things.
So many. These are a few of my favorite things. When Tularean Community College posts a video.
When the Command Zone talks about Commander.
When LRR does a stream. I simply remember my favorite things. And then I go to Card Kingdom.
Wow, you didn't even have to wait to episode 200 for a musical episode.
Wow.
There's a preview of what will be assaulting your auditory nodes coming up in just a couple of weeks. Speaking of,
yes.
I want to point this out. We have a special contest for our 200th episode. You could be on it!
That's right. If you send us an email with an audio recording of a birthday message, we will put you on the show and you will be part of a drawing to win...
Six.
6 Eternal Masters boosters.
That's so
sweet. We will be giving away 4 sets of 6 Eternal Masters boosters, courtesy of Card Kingdom.
Yeah, you have 4 chances to win. All you got to do is send us a happy birthday message, maybe talk about whatever the heck you want. I don't really care. It could be something that you like about the show, about magic, just how your life's going in general.
Yeah.
Or, you can also send a video. It could be a video or audio. Don't care. Send it to magicTheAmaturing@gmail.com. And yeah, get entered in that sweet drawing because we got Eternal Masters packs and they're burning a hole in our pockets.
Because they're hot.
Coming up on the show today, we've got For the Noobs. We're going to talk about taking ownership when you play the game. Megan's got her tournament report from GP Dallas Fort Worth. She made day 2, no big deal. And I'm wearing my I voted sticker on my face.
Yes. Mine's on my shirt.
For the Noobs, taking ownership.
Hey, everybody. Have you ever lost a game of Magic? If you haven't.
I have.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, me also.
You're pretty good.
I have lost a lot of games of Magic. And do you know what? A lot of the times, Maria, it was all my fault.
Yep, I can concur. That's the same thing for me.
I would say most of the times it was all my fault.
Or as a millennial would say, same.
Same.
Yeah, which I am, so I guess I would say that. Same. And yeah, taking responsibility for your play and accepting what you do is a big way to get better at playing Magic. And I'm just, this segment was inspired by the man himself, Mark Rosewater, mm-hmm. who wrote on his blogatog, and I quote, "I get asked all the time by people how they can get better at Magic. My answer is that you have to take ownership of your action and accept that what you do matters. If you only lose games because of what you drew or what your opponent did, you're never going to get any better. You have to realize that you're going through things which, at times, cause you to lose. Only by accepting this truth will you start taking the actions you need to improve." Which I thought was such a great statement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, Megan, we've had people on Magic the Pro the Ring. We've had a lot of pros. And this is a sentiment that comes up a number of times when they talk about when did they level up? When did they change from being just like somebody who was okay at the game to somebody who was on their way to being great?
We also have a little bit of poetry.
Yes.
A lot of pros, but a little bit of poetry.
If only our next Magic the Pro the Ring guest would read a poem.
Oh, man.
I mean,
yeah,
we could request
to ask.
Okay.
Anyways, and for a lot of them, it's and I would say even, you know, for ourselves, it's when you stop and you start thinking about how different decisions that you made impacted your games and the results of the games.
I think a good metric to use would be if you're making a play, can you say to yourself, if you were somebody who's watching you play, one of your friends or somebody who is better than you, whatever, and afterwards they talk through the game with you, could you defend that play?
Yeah.
You know, like, could you sit there and say, these are the reasons that I made the play that I did?
Yeah.
Or would you be like, I don't know, I just did. I wanted to play my 5-drop.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's I also think that, like, also being willing to admit, like, if they ask you, hey, why did you do this? And you give them your reason and they're like, but what about doing this? And it's a better action with a better reason. Being willing to be like, hey, do you know what? My line of thinking was wrong in this instance.
Right.
Because then you're, you know, giving yourself the capacity to learn and to grow.
And I think that all of us have seen players, maybe we are these players or were these players that say that blame a bad hand, a bad draw, a bad whatever for losing the game. Their opponent had it all, which in some cases, guess what? Your opponent does have it all.
Yeah.
But what we're saying is, generally speaking,
sometimes they just do.
Overall.
Yes.
That occasionally when you say I drew nothing but lands, well, maybe you made a bad keep and you shouldn't have kept that. Or, you know, I drew nothing but spells, but perhaps you didn't use your creatures correctly in earlier phases of the game, so you didn't maximize your opportunities to win from that standpoint. I think it's just being accountable for your actions in play. And we've been talking the past few episodes about Fearless Magic Inventory, which is a list of ways that you are checking yourself and your gameplay
before
in Magic.
Wrecking yourself.
Yes.
In the game of Magic.
And, like, this is a big part of it. And for me, I said, I play too fast. And honestly, it's because I'm not taking ownership. I'm not sitting there and thinking, I need to own this play that I'm making. Right?
Yeah.
Instead, I'm just like, yeah, I'll play. Let's do this.
I also think that, like, it's interesting to hear, like, one of the most interesting things, I think, hearing people talk about at the World Championships was how much Magic they play.
Yeah.
Because if you're at the very beginning, you know, you start playing these matches and you're being very, if you're taking the time to be very thoughtful and conscientious about the different plays that you're making and you're evaluating the results of those plays, then over time, over a lot of repetitions, like that good decision making becomes ingrained in you so that you don't always have to spend, you know, 30 right. seconds making the best play. Your brain's like, you're going to intuitively start to feel it. And it's not just a gut feeling. It's actually based on hours and hours of practice and thoughtfulness that went into it beforehand.
Exactly. It's like muscle memory. Mm-hmm. So like when you're a golfer, golf is one of these sports that, you know, full disclosure, I've been playing since the age of 6, much to my chagrin up until the age of about 18. When I was like, oh, this is a fine game. I get to wander around outside.
Before, so for 12 years, you hated golf played it anyways?
Yes. Hated it. Oh my God. But then, I shouldn't say 18, it was more like when I was 16, when I got kind of into high school.
And then it won you over?
I guess it did. I guess, and like what changed, I think, is that I had been just literally playing so much of it that I was able to get better. And the reason I bring it up is because golf is such a game of tiny little decisions in the way that you like hit the ball, the way you hold your club, the way that your swing goes is like all of these tiny little things could be off by a millimeter and your ball goes way over there and it's so frustrating. But the only way you can get better is not by sitting there and being like, okay, my hand's in the right position. All right, I'm holding my club right on. I'm going to bring it back 35 degrees to the right. And then I turn it. Now I think about springtime in Ireland and fall through.
Wait, why are you thinking about springtime in Ireland?
It's just like a calming thought.
I mean, I think it depends on what year it is.
That's true. Oh, this is when I think about going back in time and I'm like, it would be so great, except I would die within the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, so.
That's not to say that there's not hundreds and hundreds of good springs in Ireland.
Yeah.
Just that, you know, there have been some rough ones.
There's also Irish Spring, which is a soap.
Yes.
You could think about that.
But I don't think that you could say, if you're thinking about Irish spring soap, I don't think you can say the phrase, I'm thinking about springtime in Ireland. I just want to clarify. I think that that's a misleading statement. If what you're trying to communicate is that you're thinking about the soap.
Somebody's like so confused. Accurate. I think that's accurate. So what I'm saying is that like over time your body gets used to doing the correct thing without you having to think about all those hundreds of micro decisions. And the same thing happens in Magic. We saw it with Shota winning the Pro Tour, how he was playing that control deck, like it wasn't because he just happens to play super fast and it is also good. It's because
though he does do both of those things.
He's learned it through repeated practice. So, you know, just be responsible for what you do.
That's right.
It takes a good Magic player to say, you know what? I messed up.
Magic doesn't happen to you. You happen to Magic.
That's so right. GP Dallas Fort Worth.
Hey, everybody. I went and played in GP Dallas Fort Worth. It was modern.
Yeah, and you did really well, Megan. Tell the people.
I went 10-4-1 and picked up my third lifetime pro point.
Yeah!
Oh, yeah.
You have three pro points now.
I do. Three lifetime pro points.
How
feels
close
great.
Are you to silver?
1 million points away. 1 million
points.
It's not
really a million.
But it's basically it's a million. It's basically a million.
But you also finished higher than some notable Magic players.
That's right. Which is, you know, when I took a photo and I put it on Twitter. And like one of my favorite things is that I just like took a photo of the fact that I was like at 140th place and 31 points or whatever. And then like I didn't even notice that there were other people below me that were recognizable names. But that's like the number one thing that people commented on the tweet with.
Of course. Okay. You need 20 points to be silver.
That's
so.
A million. That's a freaking million.
I think you just got to grind out a couple more GPs this season.
So 20 more.
Yep.
20 more. But you can only count points from like the first five or the first six.
Okay.
The top six.
This is really hard. But yeah, you were playing elves.
Yes.
You had a feature match in the first round.
It was terrible. Don't watch it. Or do if you want to learn from my mistakes.
Well, look, you're owning up to your mistakes.
Yes, that's very true. Round one was really rough because I was so anxious.
Oh, yeah. Going into I don't blame you. First the feature weekend. Match.
Well, not it wasn't that. I mean, before I got there. I barely slept the night before. I was just like super, super worried because I really, you know, I'd been practicing and I wanted to do well.
Yeah.
So that is something that I am adding to my list.
Yeah.
Of what's wrong with me.
That's what Megan said on her list, Fearless Magic
Inventory. My list titled, What is Wrong with Me? I now have a number that includes like managing anxiety before a tournament because, and I'll talk about that round in a minute.
Yeah.
But like, it definitely had an impact. I definitely played better after the first round because I settled down so much.
Yeah.
Like I was so much calmer after I just like got one done. I was like, okay, fine. That's over with. Now I can sit down and actually play Magic instead of like having a panic attack and trying to play cards at the same time.
It's like when I come home hungry after work and I eat an entire bag of cheese puffs and then I'm like,
exactly.
Oh, I'm finally calm enough that I could probably eat something good for dinner.
Yeah. You need to handle that.
Yep.
So yeah, that's my new item on my list of what is wrong with me.
So what
is learning to manage anxiety before my first round.
What do you think is a way that you could do that?
Gosh, you know, I really don't know because I already do some meditation techniques.
Yeah.
And this, the anxiety that I get sometimes is so overwhelming. It's like, I get like really strong adrenaline surges so that like my hands shake and like my body tingles.
Yeah.
So it's like a physical sensation that I'm trying to, you know, that I'm trying to like calm myself out of. But it's like my body is not cooperating. It's like, hey, I understand that you're taking really deep breaths right now and trying to like relax, but what about an adrenaline spike?
What about this? It'll be fun.
Hey, do you want to feel like you're going to yak?
But what you're talking about is so familiar to so many players. Like,
yeah.
So many people feel this going into a tournament.
Yeah. And, you know, I felt it sometimes in other matches. Like, I think maybe my last match of day two or something, right? Because that's when I'm either going to end up 9-5-1 for no pro points, or I'm going to end up 10-4-1 for a pro point. And, like, obviously, I just always want the better record. Or there's, like, games, you know, games when it's, like, I see my line to victory, and I'm just like, I don't know if there's going to be something that gets in the way.
Yeah.
That feeling where it's like you start, you know, you can hear your heart pounding in your ears and you're like, oh God, crap.
Yeah, for me it comes when I think I'm about to win a game and then I screw up.
See, for me it comes when I can see that victory, but then I start thinking of all the things that can go wrong.
I'm like, victory, here it is, play poorly. And you're like, oh, I'm going to mess this up.
Yeah. Or like if it's very, very close,
yeah.
I get it really badly.
Well, can I give you a tip?
Sure.
Have you considered being slightly drunk at all times?
I don't think that that's advisable.
It's also illegal.
It is. In Magic. It's also illegal. It's a good note.
Yep.
It's a very good note.
Yeah. Well, I think meditation is something that helps a lot of people. And I think maybe doing something familiar, perhaps, like for me, is what helps to shut off my brain if I'm worrying about something, if it's magic related or whatever, is I will honestly just watch a draft video from somebody on Channel Fireball. And that's because that helps me fall asleep. And the soothing tones of LSV, which is not an insult. I've told him before. I think that was the first thing I ever said to him. It's like, your voice puts me to sleep so well.
That's creepy.
It's really creepy.
That's really creepy.
I totally
creepy.
Creeped him
it's
out
a
the
creepy
first
thing.
Time.
Creepy thing to say, man.
But like, that's a routine that I'm used to, that if I continue it, it's good. I also have herbal muscle relaxants and a pill called Stress Ease, which is also all herbal, but it really knocks you out.
So you're going with medication.
Yes, I am.
Fair
it's
enough.
All, it's all natural.
Fair enough, man. So yeah, that's going on my list because it was very distracting. And then like I got through the first round and I was totally
and
fine.
You're totally
afterwards.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were texting me.
I calmed
me,
right the fuck down.
And you're like, oh my God, I have a future match. And I was like, okay, Megan's like freaking out.
Well,
a little
that's
bit,
the thing
but.
Is that like, because, you know, I'm a scrub playing round one. They're going to put somebody in camera. So I'm like, yep, I'm here. Sure. And I was like so nervous. And Mark was like, hey, like, if you want, I won't put you on.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you know what the honest truth is? I was so nervous. It wasn't going to make it worse.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I'm at a 10 right now in terms of my, stress. So like, if you put me on camera, I can't go above a 10. I'm at my peak. I'm not talking about
11.
Except when it's like literally your physical limitation of
yeah,
a 10.
Yeah.
Right. It's like, I couldn't feel more. I had maxed out the meter on my feelings.
Well, like, I watched you play that feature match, and it was great.
Terrible.
It was not terrible. You did very well. And in game three, like we talked about, your opponent had all. That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah. And then I knew you would rally immediately after that, and you did. So do you want to talk through some of your matches?
Yeah, I'll start with, like, that round one. So I played Infect versus Infect that first round, which is, you know, like, that deck can be exceptionally powerful and, yes. like, can have turn three kills that you can't do anything about.
Yep.
Which is what happened in game one. I did forget to untap a Nettle Sentinel in game one, which was very embarrassing. People shouted at me about it on Twitter. I want you to know that that's like hasn't happened since and had never happened before.
Well, that's good.
I forgot one. But like if my opponent hadn't killed me and it was on his turn three, he killed me on his turn three. I never got one another turn after that. Like it would have made the difference. If I had been able to untap, it would have made the difference between me winning that game right there.
Really?
And losing. Yeah, because I needed to be able to attack with that Nettle Sentinel and my Azuri. Which was going to pump my team. So, like, you know, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
It would have made the difference. And, like, that's it, right? That's an important place to think about, being accountable. I can say, oh, it doesn't matter that I forgot that because my opponent just had it all anyways.
How do you spell Azuri?
E-Z-U-R-I.
Oh.
My opponent had it all anyways. But it's like, no, the truth is, I need to admit that, like, hey.
That was a thing.
Like, if I had had the opportunity to take my next turn, it would have meant the difference between me winning and losing the game.
I'm just going to read Azuri for people who don't know. Yeah. Because this is L is a very powerful deck, and one of the most powerful cards in it is Azuri, Renegade Leader.
Yeah.
It's a 2/2 for one green, legendary elf warrior. Green, regenerate another target elf, which your deck is all elves, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Two green, elf creatures you control get +3/+3 and gain trample until end of turn. So is this like your main win condition?
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of ways that you can end up winning the game. Sometimes you just have like enough elves and an archdruid, which gives all other elves +1/+1.
Okay.
And you kill them over the span of like two attacks because you don't draw Azuri or something like that. But a lot of the times what you're doing is like you're getting critical mass and you're activating Azuri once or twice. And then you kill them. Yeah. And then Nettle Sentinel, which for those of you who don't know is green for a 2/2, but it doesn't untap during your untap step. It untaps every time you cast a green spell.
Okay.
So obviously like super powerful in this deck where you're casting tons of green spells. But if you forget to untap it, that's bad. Because you don't get to untap it during your untap step.
I see. Yeah.
I'm going to spend a lot of time on this one and not so much time on other ones.
That's okay.
Because lots of interesting things happened.
Yeah.
In game two, I kept a hand that had like some elves, and notably it had a Court of Calling, which I was going to be able to cast fairly early in the game for a Malira Silvok Outcast, which is a 2/2 creature for one and a green, I think, that says that you can't get poison counters. Creatures you control can't have -1/-1 counters put on them, and creatures your opponent controls lose Infect.
So is this from your sideboard?
This comes out of your sideboard against Infect, along with a pair of Path to Exiles, and I already have a Spellskite in main deck.
Okay.
So you're either hoping to path, you know, their deck only has 8 Infect creatures in it most of the time, 4 Glistener Elves and 4 Blighted Agent. So you're hoping to, like, path their creature, or you're hoping to get a Spellskite and redirect all of their pump spells, or you get out a Malira, and then it's like, yeah, you have these pump spells, but your deck is meant to do 10 to me really quickly, not 20 to me, which is what this card makes them do. And so I ended up naturally drawing Malira and casting her.
Oh, sweet.
On turn two. And then, so I still had this Cord in my hand, and My start was like a little bit slower, but I knew like I wasn't going to kill my opponent necessarily on turn three because I didn't have the mana or maybe like the Azuri or something. Right. I was like missing a piece. And someone was like, hey, why did you not, you had this cord of calling in your hand. Why didn't you cord on one for a heritage druid? And a heritage druid is a card that says you tap three elves and you generate green, green, green.
Okay.
So obviously, again, very powerful. Yeah. Generate a ton of mana. They're like, hey, I thought that like what you really needed to close out that game was to generate all of this mana. And I was like, okay, I think like I see what you're saying, but I didn't instead like I held the cord and I didn't cord on the same time on the same turn that I ended up casting Malira. I untapped, like established my board a little bit, and I kept the cord in case something happened to my Malira because I wasn't super, you know, like I don't know if my opponent has something that can take care of that, so that I could cord for a Spellskite. So it was like my out, and if I didn't cord for a Spellskite, then I could cord for an Elvish Archdruid on my opponent's end step and then kill them. Yeah. So I was killing my opponent one turn later, but at the same time, I was holding a card that I thought was like my opponent is not going to win with a Malira in play for the most part.
Right.
And if for some reason they suddenly have an out to winning with a Malira in play, the Spellskite is going to be the other card that is going to stop them from doing it. So that was like one of those places that I'm talking about where it's like,
right,
I can not acknowledge like someone presented me with a very good alternative and I need to consider, is it correct with my deck to have tried to, you know, get a heritage through it and generate all this mana? Or was it correct to do what I was doing and like hold it because I believe that I have complete inevitability
right.
in a couple of turns. With this card in hand and a Malira in play. So that was interesting. And then I made a really wretched keep in game 3. It was garbage. I mulliganed to 6, kept a hand that was way too slow. And I think that having played Infect, knowing how the deck works, I should have just like mulliganed until I, you know, had a faster hand or had mulliganed myself into oblivion.
So did you take a mulligan that game?
I did. I took one mulligan. I should have taken a second one, I believe.
Were you just like nervous, do you think? Or were you like,
it was 100% nerves.
Yeah.
It was 100% nerves and my thinking was not clear.
How many bad keeps are the result of nerves? I'm going to say a lot.
A lot. A lot.
So it's just like taking that moment and...
Exactly. Like taking, if I'd taken a really deep breath and tried to clear my head a little bit more, I maybe would have realized that I needed to do it.
Maybe we should all like count down from 10 before we make our
keeps. I thought you meant like right now. Let's all count down from 10 right now.
I think we should start a new podcast, Megan.
Countdown
from 10, where all we do is count down from 10.
Yes.
But every week it's a new language.
Oh, I was going to say a different speed each week.
You know what?
Like sometimes it's really fast and sometimes it's like really slow.
We don't even have to record more than once because we'll just do it in post.
Yes. Perfect.
5 minutes.
One. No, we're counting down.
Oh, from 10. Down. Two.
Oh, I was thinking that you would just put more silence between them. Like it's still the same, like 10, 9, 8, 7. But like, it's like the amount of space that you put between.
Somehow numbers. Worse. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
So if you're listening to it all of a sudden, it's like 10. Oh, Jesus Christ. I dropped the dishes.
Why were you listening to Countdown from 10 podcast while carrying dishes?
It's just like one of those things people say they do when they listen to podcasts, wash the dishes.
Countdown from 10 podcast.
I listened the other day to a podcast. I can't remember what it's called, but you all out there probably know it, where it's like send you to sleep because it's so boring.
Mm-hmm.
And some guy just tells a story and it's supposed to be the most boring thing in the world. You just fall asleep.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
No.
I just wanted to hear the story.
Wow.
Didn't work for me. Anyway, it Bummer. Exists out there.
Yeah.
So that was round one.
Yeah. I'll run through some of the other rounds. Round two, I won versus Abzan Evolution 2-0. And that one was fun because that was a game where like my sideboarding, I was thoughtful in my sideboarding.
Good.
And
that was on your list.
Yeah. Elvish Champion is a deck that's in my card that's in my sideboard, which is +1/+1 to other elves you control, and all elf creatures get Forest Walk, which is important because my opponent was playing forests, and it turned out to be super important because he played a Linvala.
Yes.
So he played like a Wall of Omens on turn 2, and then turn 3, Eldritch Evolutions for a Linvala, which says that activated abilities of creatures can't be activated, or something to that effect. It might be like of a color. You know, of a, your opponents or something like that. But yeah. The point is, I can't make mana with my mana dorks. I can't activate Azuri. It's all gone to big time heck. except that I then drew an Elvish champion and then my opponent didn't have an answer for it. Nice. So I had like, you know, I have like six elves in play and now they all get +1/+1 and they can't be blocked. So it was just, yeah. So that was some sweet sideboarding.
Sweet.
Round three, I won versus Merfolk, which is just a lopsided matchup.
You told me, sorry, Professor, that Elves is just a straight up better deck than Merfolk.
It is.
Explain yourself.
Okay. Look, Elves just does the same thing that Merfolk is doing, but better.
And what do you mean by that?
Like, it puts more creatures on the board faster and they're more powerful.
But there are only ones.
And it has a better finisher. It has better finishers.
Yeah, you can't. There's not a card that's like all Merfolk you control get +3/+3 and trample.
No, there's not.
They're unblockable. Like, is they that get their to deal? Play.
They get to. Yes, they do have ones that have island walks. They can spreading seas your land, and then their creatures have island walk. But that requires, you know, two different types of card. They do get to play more lords, like more different cards that give all of their Merfolk +1/+1.
Yeah.
But it's just like they also aren't able to play them out as quickly.
Yeah.
Which is why they play something like Aether Vial.
Yeah.
Because it's trying to help them flood the board. Whereas because all of your creatures produce mana, you just get to flood the board so quickly and you get Collected Company and you get Court of Calling.
Nice.
So you get to go search for the things that you need. You don't just have to rely on drawing them.
Court of Calling, straight up tutor in this deck.
It's so good. It's so good. And usually, you know, because you're spamming so many creatures on the board, you can cord for a pretty big number very early in the game. Round four, I went 2-0 versus Tron Eldrazi.
Tron Drazi?
Yeah. Basically, they use the Tron lands and Eldrazi Temple to cast a bunch of colorless Eldrazi.
Not like Karn?
I don't think so. At least I never saw one. I think it more focuses on the colorless cards. On the colorless Eldrazi creatures, I mean. That one... this is fun. I won game one. Game two, I'm on the draw, and my opponent goes turn two Thoughtknot Seer, right? Like 4/4 take, like exile a card. Turn three Reality Smasher.
No.
Turn four another Reality Smasher.
No, your reality was smashed.
Oh man, it so was. Except that like in all of the like, I managed to not chump away creatures and go to one.
Oh.
Right. So I go to one, and I do have elves in play, and I have a Coco in my hand and a Court of Calling. Or, I draw one or the other.
She means Collected Company, yes. Not a nice hot cup of chocolate.
I wish. No, in this case, I wanted the Collected Company. draw it or something. So on my turn, right, my opponent's at 20, because obviously they've had this insane start. I haven't attacked into it. I've just been, playing these mana dorks. I Collected Company, and I see, Dwynan's Elite, which is the 2/2 that makes a 1/1 if you have another elf,
yep.
And two Archdruids. And I look at it, and I have, an Azuri in play already, and a couple of other things, some of which I had to tap in order to Collected Company. And I'm like, okay, hold on. I'm pretty sure that I can get enough toughness and blockers to survive this turn. But it turns out that while you look at it and you're like, oh, I want, you know, two Archdruids because it's going to give +1/+1 to all of my creatures. It turns out that the way that I had tapped all my creatures, if I had put two Archdruids into play, it would have been putting more toughness into play, but not across enough bodies.
Yeah.
Because I need five. I need to double block each of the Reality Smashers and then I need one left over for the Thoughtknot Seer. And I'd only have four creatures in play.
I definitely would have got that math wrong by one.
So I needed to put in the Dwynan's Elite and the Archdruid, and then I also have enough to block exactly. My opponent decides, so I do this. I have exactly enough toughness to survive, trade with both Reality Smashers,
and
chump the Thoughtknot Seer, and my opponent will still have a Thoughtknot. I'll be wiped out except for my tapped out elves that I used to Coco. But then I have this cord in my hand, so I block exactly after my opponent decides to attack anyways. And I Court of Calling for a Selfless Spirit, which I had put in expecting an engineered explosives. And I sack the Selfless Spirit.
Sick!
You know, my team is indestructible, you know, and then on his turn, I deal him, on my turn again, I deal him 20 damage in one turn because I have an Azuri and all of these elves.
That's amazing.
It was great.
How many cards did you have? Was cord your last card?
I'm sure it was. All right. Yeah.
That's BA.
It was great. It was so good. So that was a lot of fun because it was very, very close.
Yeah, man. These elves, they're not gonna take Eldrazi smashings. They're like, okay, no. we'll block and then we'll survive because of the Selfless Spirit. And now we do 20 to you.
20. So yeah, and then round 5, I went 2-0 versus Bant Spirits. I think that's just a lopsided matchup. Again, it's like too mid-range. It's not doing anything powerful enough. It's not disrupting you enough. It's not racing you well enough. It's just not a good matchup for them.
You don't like 6, that deck.
No, I don't think. Full stop. I don't think it's very good. Yeah. I don't think there were any copies in the top 100 is what I heard.
Okay.
Let's see. Round 6, I went 1-1 in a draw versus Jund. That was interesting because I think game 3, either one of us could have won if either of us had... I think we both made mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think as a result, it was a draw. I would have had lethal on... My opponent got... I got turn 4 and my opponent got turn 5. If I had had turn 5 instead, I would have had lethal. Which sucks. But yeah. At the same time, I also think that I should have won that game earlier.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, it's one of those games where it's like so many things happened and I can't point to one of them, but I'm certain I made so many decisions that there were several that were wrong and led to me losing that game.
I mean, there's lots of decisions we make over the course of a 15-round tournament.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're able to, like, have such a good record that you had and look back and say, these are the ones that I think that I made incorrectly during a match, I think is very good.
Yeah. There was a fun moment in game 2 because I lost game 1. Game 2, my opponent kept a hand where he was depending on Kozilek's returning me. In order to, you know, not die.
Yeah.
And on my turn 4, when my opponent tries to, is instant speed Kozilek's returning me, I had a Nykthos in play and 6 elves. I managed to make 12 mana off of Nykthos and Court for Azuri and save my team.
That's awesome.
It was great.
Azuri and Pump.
Okay, this is embarrassing. And this is another note for what's wrong with me. I get 2 single track mind. I regenerated all of my team instead.
Oh, well.
I should have just pumped my team because then it would have also saved Azuri. I mean, I won anyways because my opponent was depending on the K return just working.
Yeah.
But one track mine sometimes. I was like, oh, snap, I can regenerate everybody. No, Megan, just make them all tough enough that they don't freaking die to it. That's like another idea you could have, genius.
I think you need to put I'm too hard on myself on your list. Just saying.
Anyways, but that was, you know, that was fun. 12 mana on turn 4.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Pretty sick. Let's see. Round 7, 2-1 versus Affinity. My sideboard cards won.
Yep.
It happened. Turn 2, game 2, I Fracturing Gusted. Turn 3, I had a Kataki.
RIP. I mean, part of me wants to say, why do you play Affinity?
Because if they don't draw their sideboard cards, they die really fast.
I could say the same thing to myself as a Boggles player, but if you can get wrecked by one sideboard card, I'm just like, why? But
it's still 1 in 60. In my case, it's 3 in 60. If you count the Court of Callings, it's 6 in 60, and I have to draw them soon enough that I don't die.
This is the thing, when I was playing in Omaha, I always was like, they always have Spell of Sky after sideboard. That somehow, it's somehow always there, and they only have one.
I know.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm over it. Am I? Hashtag am I. I wish you could put, question marks and apostrophes and stuff in hashtags, because
it
would just make it so much better.
Yeah, it really would. Let's see. Round 8, 2-1 versus Bant Spirits. Game 2, I lost because I didn't think through the ways that my opponent could have won the game. And sure enough, they collected company into a Reflector Mage and managed to bounce the Lord that was, you know, giving all of my creatures +1/+1. So that sucked. I won game 3, but I shouldn't have lost game 2. That was a big mistake.
Well, at least you pulled it out. I would be really mad at myself. I was like, no, and then I lost game 3!
It was still a lopsided matchup, you know.
Yep.
Round 9, 0-2 loss versus Lantern Control. I deserved that. I deserve it.
Because you didn't play it.
It happened.
It was mad at you, Megan.
It was mad at me. It came for me. It got me good.
Yep. It's like, I'm coming for you.
If that deck, if it operates, the deck, you know, is supposed to beat me. And it did. Beat me good. Round 10, first thing on day 2, I went 0-2 loss versus Abzan. I mulliganed to 5 twice. Got my mana dorks killed. It was brutal.
But, yeah.
You know.
Is that a Siege Rhino deck?
No. It's like a Grim Flare, Abrupt Decay, Stuff like that. Then, let's see, round 11, 2-1 win versus Tron. My opponent made a key mistake.
Oh.
Which was, so I lost game one to turn 3 Tron into Karn into Ugin.
Yeah.
Just got wrecked.
Seems good.
Got real wrecked. I thought, because I managed to, like, kill the Karn. They have to exile my Archdruid, but they're Karn. And I still have, like, 5 power and elves in play. So I, like, kill Karn and deal some damage to my opponent. I'm like, maybe I'll survive this. And then he just plays Ugin, and I'm like, okay.
Oh, JK. Never mind.
Everything's dead. Everything is exiled.
Yes.
Not just dead. Everything's exiled.
Gone for good.
It is very, very gone. So in game 2, my opponent plays turn 1 like mine, turn 2 power plant or something, and on turn 1 plays an expedition map, but on their turn 2 doesn't crack it.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, interesting. So on my turn, which is just a mistake, because then on my turn I play a land and pass, and so he goes to crack it, and I flash an Aven Mind Sensor.
Yeah.
Which I think my opponent wasn't super experienced, so didn't know, because he had to read the card. And also didn't know that it wasn't just that one time he searched. Yeah. Like, his next turn he tried to cast another search card, and I was like, it's still just the top 4 guy.
Aven Mind Sensor. What's this cost?
Two and a white.
Two and a white.
Flash, flying. And if an opponent would search their library, that player searches the top 4 cards instead.
It's a 2/1. I mean, it's a bird wizard.
Yeah.
What more do you want?
It's a bird wizard.
The art on it is...
great.
I don't know how to describe
it. It's so great. It's a bird wizard. It's a freaking bird wizard.
It has a staff of power.
It's so good.
Oh.
Yeah, and then, you know, so yeah. Don't wait to crack your expedition map, man.
I will mind censor you.
Exactly.
I wouldn't see that card coming, but I didn't.
Now you know.
I also didn't test.
Now you know. Round 12, I beat Lantern Control.
Nice.
Which is just one of those stories of, like, hey, don't give up just because you think the matchup is bad. Like, game 1, my opponent was having a really hard time finding the third land to play the Ensnaring Bridge that they knew they had in hand. And by the time they had it, they were so close to dead anyways and couldn't empty their hand fast enough to keep the bridge from keeping my creatures from attacking. And then, like, game 2, I ended up, like, they... Thought seized the Fracturing Gust in my hand, and on their first hit with Ghoulcaller's Bell, milled my Kataki, and so I was like, crap. But then, like, before too far into it, I got in a couple of an attacks under the Ensnaring Bridge while I still had a card in hand. And then, like, later on, I top decked Eternal Witness, got back my Fracturing Gust, and in that turn killed them.
I wonder if you feel now like you have dodged fate and you're going to be in a situation where it's those kids who dodged their death in the movie and then it comes for them anyway.
Wait, what?
What movies am I talking about?
Are you talking about, what is it? Final.
Final Destination?
Final Destination!
So Ensnaring Bridge, you're like, yeah, give me next time, Ensnaring Bridge. And Ensnaring Bridge is like, oh, I will.
In oh, some I will.
Weird, contrived oh, way, will. You will trip over an Ensnaring Bridge or slip on it on a slippery floor.
What? You're making me, like, terrified of walking over bridges right now. What is wrong with you?
I mean, and you're going to lose.
You can't say this and make me afraid of bridges. We live in a city full of rivers and lakes. I'm going to have to cross a freaking bridge at some point, man.
I mean, and then you'll lose a game of Magic. That's what
oh,
it
that's
is.
Fine.
That's all.
If the result is that I lose a game of Magic.
Yeah.
Final Destination, don't they all die?
Yes.
And then someone survives and then they're in the next movie and then
yes.
Everybody dies?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Then round 13, 0-2 loss versus Thing Ascension, which is Thing in the Ice, Pyromancer's Ascension. I know.
It is not really called Thing Ascension.
It is. It is.
Oh, this is
Thing in the Ice and Pyromancer's Ascension.
They sell pills for that.
Basically, I didn't pack a sideboard card that I could have, which is Eidolon of Rhetoric, I want to say, which says you can only cast one spell per turn. And it applies to everybody, so it's obviously bad for your deck, too.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of the very few ways that you can win versus this deck, because it just wrecks you.
This
it
is going to hurt really me, good. Too, buddy.
Round 14, 2-0 win versus Bant Nightfall, which has Knight of the Reliquary, Bant, and then, like, a bunch of other cards. It's very mid-rangey. This is another place where my, like, research and knowing the decks... was crucial, because I kept in a Reclamation Sage, even though I didn't see any enchantments or artifacts in the first one.
You
because,
knew.
Well, I know that the deck plays, or a lot of them play Retreat to Coral Helm as part of, like, this weird combo win. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes, you know, they might have access to something like in their sideboard. And sure enough, he brought in Worship, which says that as long as you control a creature, damage that would reduce your life total to one reduces it. That would reduce your life total to zero, reduces it to one instead. One. So you can't die.
Retreat to Khorahm? You didn't even play that in draft.
There's this weird combo with it in Modern. All right. There's a weird combo deck. Anyways. So yeah. And then I played. So right, like I managed to get my opponent to one. And then I have to play over the course of four turns. They managed to start attacking me with a Kessig Wolf Run and a Birds of Paradise. So they're attacking me to like for like three or four a turn. So I play to my one out of either drawing Reclamation Sage or a Court of Calling to kill the Worship. And I, like, sure enough, I do. My opponent was very mad, but I was like, dude, I literally had at least five chances to draw this card over four turns, which is very good.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. I hate when opponents are like, oh, well, you drew it. And you're like, well, no, I played like, exactly
statistically, to draw it. I was likely to draw it. And so I played as though I were going to, because otherwise I don't win the game.
Right. And that's so good.
And then round 15, I won versus Abzan. My opponent flooded pretty badly.
Well,
woo, there you go.
10 and 4 and 1. That's pretty great. How do you feel overall about the tournament?
I had such a good time. I talked about last time about giving myself more opportunities to play.
Yep.
And I was so glad that I did. I had a great time. It was wonderful. I love playing Magic.
News alert! The host of MTA love playing Magic.
Whatever.
Stop the presses!
Weird.
Did you have any Texas food?
I had tacos. They were great.
Yes.
Oh, man. They were great.
Were they breakfast tacos?
No, I had like regular tacos.
Still good.
I did also have breakfast tacos from Taco Cabana.
I knew
Which is a fast food chain, you guys, but it's actually really good.
Remember like when Cabana. We were somewhere else and were you there? It was Seattle.
I don't know. And what somewhere else are you talking about?
I think it was Seattle. And there's this like fast food place called Taco Time. And like we drove past it. And like the Seattleite who was driving us around was like, never, never. I want you to look at me. Never go to Taco Time.
I was not around for that.
Okay, I'm remembering it
I
now.
I wish that I was.
I'm remembering it now. And then they were like, I had diarrhea for 3 days.
Oh my God.
Never go to Taco Time.
Gross.
Anyway, that's TMI. That's why I have obscured the name of this Seattle native. But
that's really nice of you. You're protecting them.
Could be anyone.
Yeah.
Take it from me, this PSA. Never go to Taco Time.
There you go.
But if you're in Texas.
Taco Cabana all day. So good. So good. And for those of you who have asked about the deck list that I played, I will I'll hop on Mikko in the next couple of days and screenshot my list, as well as the a couple of changes that I would make. The biggest one being the deck that I played had a Scavenging Ooze in the main, one of them, and I would replace it with a Selfless Spirit in the main. Because there were a couple of times where it's like, oh, if I had been able to cord for something that protects my team in game one, it would have made the difference. And I felt it was way better than Ooze.
My cat is
playing with a bag of stuff.
A bag of IKEA parts. Just don't put it over your head, kitty. You know what you should do is do a video. Do a Modern League or something with your elves.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway.
Okay,
now
I will.
Now I've said it, so it has to be real.
All right. All right. Okay.
We're going to play a fun game.
Yeah, we are. It's called Let's Forget About the Election for a Minute. Look at cards.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Are we going to elect these cards present?
Yeah. Look, okay, we're going to open, we're going to crack this pack, and we're going to each draw cards and give their pitch for why they should be elected president of Kaladesh.
Okay. We all know, by the way, that Kaladesh has some weird stuff going on.
The consulate probably needs to be taken down.
Consulate. President of the consulate? Is that how this is going to work?
Sure.
Yoink.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Hello, fellow citizens of Kaladesh. I'm here to campaign for your presidency. I have something like 30 legs and one brain. And what's most important is my one tiny, tiny brain. I'm made of metal. And here's the best part. They try and keep me down, but I have lifelink. Pragada Pug for president. Thank you, 2016.
Hey, everybody! I'm just here to say that I would really like to be your president. Without, I get better with artifacts, and Kaladesh is not the artifact.
pottery screecher is a good president. Oh, this is a creepy one.
I will come into your house and I will look at your objects and babies. And I will tell you if they are of the highest quality or if they should be culled. Elect me if you're a sadist or you believe in perfection in a weird, creepy Hitler way. I'm select for inspection.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, don't do that one. You guys, don't do that one.
Maria, menacing.
I know. I can't help it. What happened?
Hey, everybody. Look, I know what's going on because I'm around. You don't see me when I'm around, but I'm around looking. Just keeping up on things. I'm big. I'm beefy. I know what's what. I'm Cal Prowler for president.
Just a big meathead.
Just a big slug.
Oh, interesting.
Hey, I want to be your president. I'll be your best friend. I will put balls in my mouth. And by that, I mean... And by that, I mean I'll play catch with you. And not the dirty kind. Hey, but here's the thing.
Oh my god.
Well, I'm your best friend. I'm also a sneaky enemy, and you may be your friend, but beware because be prepared. Trusty companion for president 2016.
A trusty companion. I'll put balls in my mouth.
I'll put balls in my mouth. 2016.
Look, do you know what? I'm just doing great, okay? I can see everything from these mountains that I live in, and things are just going swell for me. Let me help things go swell for you. I've got the energy to be president. I'm thriving Ibex 2016.
Ooh, I'd vote for Thrybex.
Hey, I think the number one problem facing Kaladesh is the fact that we don't have enough shields, okay? Defense, number one priority. Military, number one priority. God. Everything else, can GTFO, blossoming defense, president, 2016.
Hey, do you know what we need? We need to listen to what people need and give it to them, which is what I'm here to do. From where I'm at, I can see everything going on, and I will be the first person to give you what you need in a time of need. Aerial Responder, 2016.
Hey, I've done a lot of great things in my life, including gaining sentience and building a smaller version of myself. Is that creepy to you? I'm sorry, that's what I do. I'll build so many versions of myself. You have so many presidents. Why elect one when you can have 50 million?
Automaton.
Accomplished automaton. Yep. For president 2016.
My sleeves are shiny. Vote for me. Clint Sleeve Artisan 2016.
Hey, are you scared at night? Me too. I'm scared. You should be scared of me. I creep around corners and under your bed and probably in a closet or two. But I also see all the dirty things going on in the city behind the scenes. And I get grubby.
Night market lookout?
Yes, night market lookout. 2016. Yeah.
Terror of the fairgrounds! 2016!
Hi. Do you want a president that can gut you like a fish?
No.
Vidalcan Blademaster, 2016.
Do you know what? I'll cultivate our country like I've cultivated swords. I know you're wondering, do swords grow out of the ground? Where I'm from, they do. Let me help you grow out of the ground. Cultivator of Blades, 2016.
That's the one that's winning, if I'm being honest with you.
Cultivator of Blades?
Like, or Aerial Responder.
I think, when I picked up Aerial Responder, I was like, oh, heck yeah. You know, like, it's like, look, it's got lifelink.
And it's helping.
Flying, vigilance, and lifelink. What a great card.
You definitely don't want to elect Terror of the Fairgrounds. Yep.
Campaign platform. Perfect. Perfect.
My favorite was Bricata Pillar Bug. Really tried. But really didn't have a chance.
No. Poor guy. Just what about Clint Sleeve Artisan?
I have shiny sleeves.
I have shiny sleeves. Shiny sleeves, 2016. All right. That is our Kaladesh Flavor Text Theater for today. This will go with the playmat to November's winner of our Patreon giveaway. So sign up on patreon.com/mtacast. Support the show. Keep the lights on, the microphones recording, and our butts in these chairs.
Yep.
Otherwise, these chairs will disappear if we don't keep paying them.
they run a high cost.
Seriously, you help make this show possible. Also, remember for our 200th episode, send us a happy birthday message, audio or video, and we will include it in our 200th episode. And you will be entered in a drawing for those six boosters of Eternal Masters.
Yeah, right now,
four sets of six,
we are only $10 away from our next goal on Patreon. So every dollar counts. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've got a couple of super sweet contests for you this month. And you have up until the day before we record our 200th episode, which I believe is, let me look on a calendar. I don't want to tell you the wrong day of when you can send in an email. MagicTheAmateuring@gmail.com is where to send it. And
which episode is this?
So this is episode two before.
This we're on 198?
I believe so. So you have until the 20th of November, midnight on the 20th, to send us an email with a voice or a video to get in the show and on the drawing. So, yeah, do it because we want to hear from you. You know, this is like not just our show. This is your show, too. And it makes a big difference when we know who we're talking to and why the show is valuable to you. So, you know, maybe your favorite moment from the show, just a memory you have of magic. Any of these things will work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Big thank you again, of course, to our sponsor, cardkingdom.com/MTAcast. Head over there and buy all of your singles for this brand new standard season we're living in now. It's not settled yet. People are still building really great decks. Denver's coming up in December.
We will be there.
We will be there. Megan will be playing a deck. Which one?
Who knows?
We don't know yet.
It's probably a green black delirium.
But it would be awesome to see you in Denver. So get your standard decks ready at cardkingdom.com, known for their amazing customer service and just being general all around awesome folks. So thank you to them for believing in our show and supporting it. And thank you to you for doing the same and joining our Patreon family.
Contact us at MTAcast on Twitter, magicTheAmateuring@gmail.com. Get some sweet swag like a playmat or t-shirt on our website, magicTheAmateuring.com. And listen to this wherever your ears are available.